My brain is doing the browser tabs thing this week, not in a dramatic way. Just 12 tabs, all called some version of wait. Is this secretly deep learning again?
That is painfully accurate. Also, very exploring next of us to spend months saying the term like it is furniture, then suddenly realize the furniture is holding up half the room.
Exactly. We keep talking about models, agents, vision systems, language systems, loss, backprop, all of it. And deep learning is just sitting underneath, quietly doing the work.
So this one deserves the slow version. Because deep learning sounds like branding until you unpack it, and then it is actually a pretty specific idea. Many layers of a neural network learning useful representations from raw data.
Kathy, I want the version where someone can walk in knowing basically nothing except that AI keeps eating headlines and still come out with the shape of it.
Okay, picture a stack of workbenches in a workshop. Raw material comes in at one end, and each bench does a tiny transformation before passing it to the next bench.
Right.
For an image, the raw material is just numbers for pixels. The first bench might learn to notice simple lines or color changes. The next bench combines those into corners, textures, little shapes. Later benches can start representing eyes, wheels, whiskers, road signs, whatever helps the task.
So deep learning is not the computer being handed the perfect cat checklist. It is learning the checklist-ish stuff through the stack.
Yes. That is the big flip from older machine learning workflows. Traditionally, a human would design features by hand, edges, textures, measurements, rules. Then a classifier would use those features to make a decision. Deep learning says, give the system raw-ish data and enough examples, and let the layered network discover which features are useful.
The product person in me loves that, because hand-building the cat checklist sounds like exactly the kind of workflow that quietly becomes three teams and a calendar full of regret.
And your optimism is allowed here. Annoying, but allowed. The reason deep learning took off is not just that the final classifier got better. It is that the feature building part became learnable.
Before we get too far, neural network. We did the full overview in episode 633, but give me the one-line version right now.
A neural network is a system made of connected layers with adjustable numbers inside, usually called weights and biases. Those numbers control how input gets transformed into output, and training is the process of tuning them.
Mm-hmm.
Deep learning just means we use many layers, not one or two. The depth matters because each layer can build on the previous layer's representation. In our workbench picture, every bench receives something a little more organized than raw material.
Okay, but why does stacking layers help so much? Why not just make one very large bench that does the whole job?
Because many real-world patterns are compositional. A face is made of parts. A sentence is made of word relationships. A useful signal in audio may be built from tiny sound patterns into syllables into words. Depth gives the network intermediate steps where simple signals can become more abstract signals.
Yeah.
A shallow model can still learn things, and sometimes it is enough. But for messy tasks like images, speech, or language, forcing one flat transformation to jump from raw input to high-level meaning is hard. The layered version has a much nicer path.
So instead of one exhausted bench trying to identify a cat from a blizzard of pixels, you get a whole tiny cat bureaucracy.
Horrible phrase. Tragically useful. The bureaucracy has parameters, which are those adjustable weights and biases. A modern deep network can have a huge number of them, and during training, the system keeps changing those numbers so the final output becomes less wrong.
This is where we need the training loop, because otherwise it sounds like the network just gazes at pixels and becomes wise, which I know is not your favorite claim.
Not even top 50. The loop starts with a prediction. Then you compare that prediction with the desired answer using a loss function. We did the full loss overview in episode 688, but the quick version is, the loss function is the penalty formula that says how wrong the prediction was.
Okay.
Then backpropagation, which got its own overview in episode 686, efficiently works backward through the layers and figures out how much each parameter contributed to the error. Gradient descent, episode 677, uses that information to nudge the parameters in the direction that should reduce the loss next time.
Let me put that back in the workbench picture. The finished object comes out wrong. So instead of yelling at the whole workshop, backprop figures out which benches probably contributed to the bad output.
Exactly. and gradient descent is the adjustment process. Tighten this knob a little, loosen that one, change thousands or millions or billions of tiny settings. Not randomly, guided by the slope of the error.
Wait, billions of tiny settings is where my brain does the little smoke effect. Why does this not immediately memorize the training examples and become useless outside them?
Sometimes it does. That is called overfitting. The model learns the training data too specifically instead of learning patterns that generalize. Deep learning needs lots of examples, partly because a big, flexible network has enough capacity to memorize nonsense if the training setup lets it.
Sure.
So scale helps, but it is not magic. More data gives the network more chances to learn stable patterns instead of quirks. More compute, especially from GPU chips, made it practical to train large layered networks in reasonable time. A GPU is good at doing many similar math operations in parallel, which is exactly what these models need.
That historical piece matters. Deep learning was not waiting for everyone to have better vibes. It needed data, big networks, and enough compute to actually turn the crank.
Yes, and efficient training algorithms. Without backpropagation and gradient descent, the stack of workbenches does not know how to improve itself. It just keeps producing whatever its current settings produce.
Let's make it concrete. Google Photos is the clean, everyday example. It can group and classify images because the model has learned visual patterns that help it recognize what is in a picture.
Right. The classic architecture there is a CNN, a convolutional neural network. Architecture just means the layout of the network. ACNN is built for images by scanning for local visual patterns, so it fits the workbench story beautifully. Early visual marks, then shapes, then object-level cues.
Oh, interesting.
And the key is that those visual detectors are learned. A person does not have to hand code every useful edge or texture detector. The training process discovers internal features that lower the loss on the image task.
Then, for language and sequences, the workbench stack changes shape, right? Because a sentence is not a grid of pixels.
Right. RNNs, recurrent neural networks, were designed for sequences by carrying information from earlier steps forward. Transformers are another architecture for sequences, especially language, and they use attention, which means the model can weigh which parts of the input matter to each other. We did NLP in episode 670, so I will not drag us into the whole language swamp.
Thank you for not opening the language swamp. It has reeds. It has bugs. It has a vendor deck somewhere calling itself a cognitive marsh.
I hate how plausible that is.
Exploring next, episode 692. Two AI analysts professionally avoiding the cognitive marsh.
Back on land, the same deep learning pattern shows up in spam filtering, product recommendations, fraud detection, customer service systems, and natural language processing. The raw input changes, but the move is similar. Learn useful internal representations, then use them to predict or decide.
That is the adoption story. Builders do not wake up craving a many-layer representation learner. They have messy inputs, messages, photos, transactions, support tickets. Deep learning becomes valuable when it turns that mess into something a product can act on.
And the annoying catch is that the learned representation is often hard to inspect. You can look at outputs. You can test behavior. But the internal features are distributed across a lot of parameters, so a specific decision can be hard to explain cleanly.
My favorite sentence in product review: the system is useful, and also we cannot fully say why it made that exact call.
Yes. Then all the modern debates sit on top of that. Architecture, data, compute, evaluation, interpretability. But the core engine is still that stack learning features instead of waiting for humans to hand carve them.
Kathy, I cannot believe the cat bureaucracy survived the episode. That is either our finest teaching moment or a cry for help.